What is your mountain? In consciousness, of course, the mountain is an elevated state. But here, in this passage that we've riffed off of on, mountain has a slightly different meaning. It's akin to an obstacle. Our society is filled with stories of people who have overcome all kinds of obstacles and seeming failures to go on to succeed. One classic example is the famous basketball player, Michael Jordan. Did you know he was cut from his high school basketball team? Really? Michael Air Jordan? You can imagine how the coach feels now. Not good enough to play high school basketball? Of course, he could have shut it down and forgotten all about it. But instead, he took a place on the junior varsity team and worked hard, always hitting the gym before and after school to practice. But life was not always successful. He had minor setbacks throughout his life, and he did not allow them to define him. Looking back on his life, Jordan has had this to say: I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again. And that is why I succeed. Charles Goodyear, the founder and creator of the process that vulcanized rubber, which has allowed us to drive our cars around with our tires. We don't much think or give too much thought to Mr. Goodyear, other than we see his name all over the place, particularly on game Sunday, you see it on the dirigible. But Charles Goodyear was hardly a success in life. He died at age 59, penniless, after seeing his daughter, who was on her deathbed as well. He had created patents. He had failed thousands of times to get the rubber industry off the ground. And his position in life, the patents were challenged. Everything was just about dead. 40 years after the fact, Mr. Sebring in Akron, Ohio, picked up the patents, created the industrialization, put Goodyear's name on it, and the rest is history, as they say. But Mr. Goodyear did not see this in his lifetime. Nevertheless, he had this to say, and I think it relates to our subject of faith this morning. He said the following: in reflecting on the past as it relates to the branches of industry, we are not to repine, complain, and say we have planted and others have gathered fruits. Advantages should not be estimated exclusively by dollars and cents. Man has just cause for regret only when he sows and no one reaps. Keeping those two gentlemen in mind, think about our own lives. Do we let failure be an obstacle? Is the fear of failure an obstacle for you? I'll bet it is. And there may be others too. What is your exact obstacle at the current moment? And how can we summon the faith to make a noticeable improvement in removing it? It is through a clarity of vision of who and what we are. The Metaphysical Bible Dictionary ascribes to Habakkuk the metaphysical meaning of clearness of vision, looking into the working of thoughts in our consciousness, and holding tightly to that which is good and true, while wrestling with error in an attempt to purge it out. The writer of Matthew would have known Habakkuk and ascribed to Jesus the embodiment of these qualities. Jesus would not and does not recommend that we sit with our obstacle and suffer. No, He teaches and embodies the whole concept of immediate removal of the obstacle, whatever it may be. And his method and way is to heal, and not to change circumstances, but to change our consciousness about them. This affects the healing, which appears as improved health, increased supply, and improved conditions. And we need this immediately. For as the writer Matt Williams, who created the show Home Improvement, points out in a recent interview with Tim Allen, the star of that show, and it was on a podcast named Glimpses. The title of that comes from his concept of glimpses of God. Tim Allen and Matt Williams commented, "Just how many summers do you think you have left?" Hence the need for immediacy. Now, how do we tap into this healing power? This power to heal our circumstances or our angst about them. How do we bring the Jesus method of healing our conditions to the forefront so that we can access it and improve our lot right here and right now? And the simple answer, of course, is faith. But faith in what? And how do we get there? Emma Curtis Hopkins, which, by the way, is a footnote in the concept of apparent failure in and of itself, for you will recall she was part of Mary Baker Eddy's early Christian Science movement. And because of certain disagreements, she was then ultimately precluded from using the term Christian Science. But that did not stop Ms. Hopkins. She went on to become the teacher of teachers. We have the Unity movement. We can thank Ms. Hopkins for that. The Divine Science movement. We can thank Ms. Hopkins for that. The Science of Mind or Center for Spiritual Living, the Ernest Holmes group, you can thank Ms. Hopkins for that. In fact, Ms. Hopkins has books with Bible lessons that number of at least 250 that she would deliver on a weekly basis for years. But back to Emma Curtis Hopkins. She created a whole series of Bible interpretation lessons over 100 years ago. Teacher of teachers, influencer of our founders. And we can know that we are in alignment with her teachings and writings just by reading what she has to say. Here's what she has to say about tapping into the faith that moves mountains. She says the following, and some of these words are going to ring very familiar to you. All is mind and mind's ideas. The mind is a garden bed where the thoughts spring up. The law of the mind is my Father works hitherto, and I work. You will want to, as she would say, tap into the short, direct way of Jesus to allow the faith to come forth and remove your difficulty. He would do it this way. Jesus would go into an exalted state. He had to get there first, and then he would deny and affirm. He would deny the power of evil by saying, "It is a lie from the beginning." Then he would affirm, "All power is given unto me, and I and the Father are one." But note, she says, he does this from an exalted state of mind first. That is, the state of mind that has faith, faith in the power and in the reality of the words or ideas. Faith for Jesus was that there would be no room for doubt, no erroneous thought leaking in, that we are anything other than God's perfect expression. And as he does so, we can do and should do likewise. And this explains a lot whenever our work does not produce results, for we are like the disciples, unless we are coming at it from an exalted state of mind. We are lacking that 100% complete faith. And any faith that is not 100% is no faith at all. Look at those disciples again. They could not heal the lunatic mind like Jesus was then able to. Jesus explained why they were unable to do the healing. And he was, and of course, keep in mind, he recognized first and foremost, it was God who heals. Jesus was able to channel or bring it about. He explained that he was able to bring about the healing because of they and their unbelief, their lack of faith. But he was able to bring it about because of his 100% of faith, described this way. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible. The mustard seed is about the smallest thing known to mankind. And when planted and grown, it flows into this wild, big mustard tree. And that was the concept he was expressing. So the very first step is to get 100% in line with that very small mustard seed. Very first step, when you're confronted with an obstacle, get into an exalted state of mind where you can accept that nothing is impossible, that God is all in all, that God is within you 100%. Of course, from time to time, which is most times, we are unaware of this. We are going along about things with not a whole heck of a lot of thought about God and our status or relationship with him. We're wandering around, roaming without a GPS map in the Garden of Eden, vulnerable to all sorts of erroneous ideas and thoughts, and then quite unthinkingly replicating them. Why? Our minds are creative and reproducing in nature. Suddenly, we find conditions have overwhelmed us. We become depressed or anxious or both. And then we can't get ourselves into an exalted state of mind where faith can take over. What do we do then? Emma Hopkins has this to say. How can I be other than depressed and anxious when my father has failed in business, my brother's a drunk, and my mother is paralyzed? Well, Emma Curtis Hopkins says, you still have a way of getting out of your difficulties, even though at the current time, you're not in that exalted state, which is to say your faith is lacking. She says you have a choice now. Take on the Job way of getting into that exalted state of mind. In other words, reason your way to faith. Here's how Job reasoned his way to faith. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. That's right. You confront your thoughts of God and realize, rationalize, reason with him. He made you with his hands. You cannot be anything other than perfect. Emma continues that this reasoning out your own case with that divine presence that folds you so close, that is a mighty help to your state of mind. It says so in the Psalms too. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Be sure to be very definite in stating your case, says Emma. Do not let your emotion consume your words. Then, when you are in this exalted state of mind, trust God. Now, do more. Take account of your assets and liabilities. You've been confronted with a problem. You're in the exalted state of mind. What are you going to do about it? Recognize your need. Take stock in what you have. Bless it. Praise what you have. It will, when you realize its true source, infinite supply, continue to flow forth, just like the widow woman's cruse of oil. Just like the loaves and the fishes. This abundance mentality puts you in an exalted state of mind, and it puts your mind into the state of infinite God. Now, the hoarding mentality, that breaks that connection, leaves you to your own human resources, and even that which you had will be used up, taken from you. Isn't that the lesson of the talents? Those who were in the flow of abundance continued to receive. That one who hid his talent and did nothing with it for fear of losing it, well, even that little was taken from him, used up. What is the difference between an abundant state of mind and a hoarding state of mind? Nothing other than faith, which is everything. Faith must be 100% or it is no faith at all. Faith puts you in the state of mind that is in tune with the abundance and infinite blessings. Ralph Waldo Trine expressed this concept of faith in the story of the pond. When allowed to flow freely, water, in from the source and out to feed the other streams and communities, when that was the way it was, the pond was filled with, teeming with life. But a new tenant shareholder came on the land, and he wanted to hoard the pool all to himself. So he shut off the supply from the source, and he closed off, more importantly, the outflow of the pond to the streams below. And soon the pond, once filled with life, was dead and filled with decay. The water stilled, the fish died, vegetation died, the whole scene was death. When the new owner returned, he reopened the channels and life once again flowed. Faith is like that. Faith in the source, faith in the outflow, faith in the knowledge that we are one with life and one with the universe and must get in the flow, so to speak. And that is the key to a happy, whole, and successful life. You see, we are like that pond in Trine's story. We are the disciples wrestling with a hard problem and needing to summon 100% faith. We are Job, forced to reason out our way to the exalted state of mind. When we are able to achieve that exalted or faith-based state of mind, then we can know that it is the power of our thoughts that can remove all unwanted conditions and restore ourselves. If we lack health, let us remember, we were not meant to age, decay, and die. That is world consciousness entering into our thoughts. How else can we explain why some who are in their 60s look decrepit and old, and others in their 90s appear to be vibrant? If we lack supply, we can put ourselves into the flow at any time. How? Simply give. Give out. We always have something in our consciousness to give, to share. And when we are in that state of mind, we are in the flow, receptive to receive, and we are able to give. And we have control over this as we can always give. So if you are despondent, despairing of a sad lot in life, you can restore yourself to happiness by recalling Job's words. We were not designed to be unhappy. It is not our nature. It is not our wiring. God did not make junk, as the saying goes. The answer to life's problems is summed up in a simple word, faith. But not merely faith alone. Faith puts you in the exalted state of mind, which then allows your actions, and there must always be actions, for faith without works is dead. Your actions will have all the power of the universe, all the power of God. And once the miracle of connecting with your source has occurred, the natural good consequences will flow. It's guaranteed. Should we take a few moments now to rest and contemplate and see if we can't make this lesson practical for just a moment? Let's close our eyes and take in one or two cleansing breaths and just relax. Let's try out what we've learned, shall we? Let's think of an obstacle, anything that we perceive as being in our way. What's troubling you at this very moment? Hold that in your thought. Just take it with you for a bit. Now let's use the power of imagination. Imagine your trouble is with you, and you're in a boat on a lake, and you're traveling with it, and it alone, just you and your trouble, wrapped up in a big ball, sitting there next to you. You know what it is. You can see, or perhaps even feel it. Is it weighing you down? Is your journey smooth? Or is it hard, treacherous? Perhaps your troubles, like the boulder, are even threatening to sink your boat. What can you do about that? What would our lesson from today say? First things first. Get into that exalted state of mind quickly. Can we recall that we are one with the Father? Can we recall that as He works, so do we? Or are we too troubled by our troubles? Do we have any reasoning power left? Can we not reason our way to God? God made us all equal. God is no respecter or discerner of personalities. Therefore, we can know that we need not fret. Trouble in life is not our lot. God is there, and He is too beautiful to have made a bad scene for us. With this state of mind, let's look back at that obstacle. Let's look back at that bag of troubles. What is it really? Why, it is nothing but our erroneous thinking, built up over the years, that we were expected to be perfect in health, that we were expected to be perfect on our job, that we were expected to be Superman and not even being able to fly. What are these expectations doing for us? And are they real? Why, I don't think so at all. And we can deny the reality of those troubles anytime we like. And let's do that now. Whatever troubles are holding us back, for me, it's expectations. Let's just release them. They're nothing more than a boulder on our boat. Let's imagine we've tossed it overboard. We don't need it. It isn't real. It's doing nothing for us. It's just the product of our own past erroneous thinking. And tossing it out is redeeming. Let us be redeemed. How easy is our journey now without the bundle of troubles in the boat with us? How smoothly are we now sailing with it behind us? How pleasant has our journey become? We did this. We summoned the power of faith to restore us to our sense of peace. For we now are at peace. That is our rightful state of mind as we journey home. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within now and acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace. Have faith. It moves mountains. It removes obstacles. Have a blessed week.